Welcome to FBC Scottsdale. I'm April Dudley, and you're watching In the Loop. Thanks for joining us today. The service will begin in a few minutes, but we want to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do. Our vision is to be a light in the community where people come as they are to worship and explore God, connect with people, and get involved in ministry for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. We would love to get to know you a little better as well. If this is your first time here, fill out the card in your worship folder. Those cards can also be used for prayer requests, and we will pray for you throughout the week. Today we will hear from John Bosick as we kick off our new Next Step series. He'll be talking about how everyone has a next step in being a part of this community and how we take those next steps. Bible Study Fellowship, or BSF, is a group of women who meet here every Wednesday morning from 9:15 to 11:05 a.m., beginning this Wednesday, September 11th. They will be going over the Gospel of Matthew. BSF has a program for children ages birth through kindergarten as well, so please bring your little ones. Are you interested in helping with the children's ministry? Join our pastor to children and families, Brenda Goodman, for a volunteer luncheon in the B building after service today. Do you want to help out but not necessarily teach Sunday school? No problem. There are plenty of other ways to get involved. Find out how at the luncheon. The next Guys Night Out is Tuesday, September 24th at 6 p.m. in C2. This is when they all put on their high heels and their skirts and they do each other's nails and hair and they talk about who their crushes are. I'm just kidding. In reality, they probably talk about who has a bigger truck and who has a better fantasy football team. The cost is only $6, and there'll be some great food and fellowship. You don't want to miss this. Invite your friends. FBCS 101 is a four-week class that's all about FBC Scottsdale. You will learn what our beliefs and values are, what makes us a unique community of faith, and you will even have the option of becoming a member once the class is completed. Join us on Sunday evenings beginning September 22nd at 5:30 in room E101. Well, that's it from me. The service is about to begin, so if you haven't found a seat already, please do so now. If you've missed any of these announcements, please visit our Welcome Central Desk in the lobby on your way out or our website at fbcscottsdale.org for more information. Thanks for watching. I'm April Dudley, and now you're In the Loop.
morning and welcome to church this morning. I don't know about you, but when I got up this morning, I was scared. I thought it was still the middle of the night. I didn't know what that stuff was coming out of the sky. It frightened me a lot, and it's still happening. So I know in Arizona, look, here's what's going on today. It's raining, so people stay home. We got 20 people that are off in Haiti. They flew off to, we have some people, how many? 18 right now. John's leaving a little later on today to join them. And today is the opening of the NFL football season, when you actually think the Cardinals might win more than two or three games. So, you know, there's a lot of hope today. Hope. There's hope today. We're glad you're here. We're glad you made this choice. Would you stand and love one another up? That would be a great thing. Teach a new song this morning. It goes like this. We are the one we're living for. No turning back. Our hearts are yours. And we're here for you. We're here for you. Jesus, you're the one who saves. There is power in your name. So we sing for you. God, we sing. You are the way everlasting. You are Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
In the spring of 1990, the church where I was serving was hosting a junior high event that was a statewide event. Mark was involved in it. Jeanette was involved in it. And it was for about 400 junior high students that would descend upon our church. And throughout that weekend, it'll be a great time. And as we were getting things going that particular afternoon, there was this person that walked across my line of vision and caught my attention, shall we say. And all I noticed was she was attractive, and I was single, didn't have anything better to do than hang out with 400 junior highers that weekend. But anyway, long story short, it was Dawn. And in the spring, well, thanks, I'll tell her that you applauded. But I didn't know her. I didn't know anything about her. So I said to Mark, I said, who is that? And he said, well, that's Dawn Coble. And I said, wow, cool. That was a really in-depth conversation we had. And eventually, long story short, I asked her out on a date. I asked her to go on a walk with me the next day. Doesn't sound very romantic, but it was pretty cool. So we went on a walk. And in the course of the walk, we talked, and it was like we had known each other for a long time. And little did I know that day that 23 years later, she and I would experience marriage, have two children, now have a daughter off in college, another daughter as a junior, and little did I know that was going to happen that day. But I got to know Dawn better. It would be a sad commentary on me or on anybody else if the person that you eventually married, you didn't get to know them better after the first time you met them. If I only knew Dawn today, just as Dawn, I didn't know anything else about her, you would sit there and you would probably ask me to leave and never come back. How dare you not know this person? But today, I know Dawn's favorite ice cream, mint chocolate chip. I know that she doesn't really enjoy big crowds like I do. I've come to learn in a rather interesting way that she's not as passionate about football as I am. But I've also come to know that she loves to read. I just read. She loves it. But I've come to understand who she is, and in the process of coming to know who she is, not only do I know her better, but I love her more today than I did yesterday. And I will love her more tomorrow than I did today. What does that have to do with next steps? Just as getting to know Dawn better over time is an obvious thing to do, it saddens me and shocks me to no end that when I talk to people about Jesus Christ and about what he's doing in their lives, some people will say, well, I came to know Jesus Christ when I was in grade school, and that's it. If you have been walking with Christ, or if you came to know Christ a long time ago, you should know him a whole lot better today than you did the first time that you met him. Just as you would be upset with me if I only knew Dawn by her name after 23 years of knowing her. Are you upset with yourself? Are you upset with others who don't know Christ better today after walking with him for days, months, years, decades? So as we talk about next steps, we're talking about knowing Jesus Christ better. And we come to this passage in Ephesians chapter 1, and I invite you to look on with me in the bulletin or in your Bible. And we know this, sometimes the bulletin's version is not the same as what I'm reading. We're trying to work all those details out. But starting at verse 15 of Ephesians 1, we read this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Father, as we come to this time now, we pray that you would speak to each one of us, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that you would open our minds, that you would open our ears and open our lives to hear from you. Lord, it's our prayer that we would know you better, that you would walk with us, and that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us now, wherever we are in our relationship with you. Father, may your Spirit speak through me and to me. In Jesus' name, amen. It doesn't take long to realize as you read Paul's different letters to the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the Thessalonians, Timothy. It doesn't take you long at all to realize this, that Paul has a clear motivation for why he's writing these letters. It's so clear. And he says it in each and every one of his letters, not in the same way, but the motivation is clear. And I invite you to look with me at the end of verse 17, because this is where we learn his motivation. The end of verse 17 says this: I'm going to keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And here it is. Here's his motivation: that you may know him better. That's his whole motivation. To get to know Christ better. And Paul was blown away. Paul was stunned on that Damascus road when Christ became a reality to him. He was stunned at all these things that he knew about God. And then he came to know Christ. And because he came to know Christ, his whole life was different. And God used Paul to help educate God's people about who Christ is and what it means to follow him. His motivation is clear. He wants us to grow. He wants the Ephesians to grow, which leads to this question. Are you growing? Are you growing or are you molding? Mold happens when things aren't moving, when things are not advancing. And sometimes that happens in our lives. And Paul is saying, you need to grow. You need to be moving forward. You need to know Christ better. This one who so captured your life when you were young or when it happened just a few days prior desires you to know him better. Sometimes we get so caught up in making sure we look the part that inwardly we're dying. We get it down. We know the right words to say. We know what needs to happen. And Paul's saying, no, you can't do that. You need to know him better. It's an internal thing that happens over time. A number of years ago, in Worcester, Massachusetts, the police were called up about a lady by the name of, let me get her name correct here, Adele Gabbery. Police were informed that she was missing. So the police put out a missing persons report, and in a few days, this lady's name, and I'm going to keep forgetting, Adele, her brother calls the police and says, oh, she's now moved into a nursing home. So the police stopped. They stopped the look. They said, okay, that's fine. You say so, we're going with that. And her neighbor, Michael Crowley, noticed that her mail kept piling up over days and weeks, and so he called the police. He said, there's a bunch of mail by her front door right now, and it would be great if the mail stopped. And so the police informed the post office, and they stopped service there. And as things continued on, they noticed that her next-door neighbor, Eileen, noticed that there were her grass needed to be mowed. And so she hired her son to mow her yard twice a month for $20 a month. Well, as the son was mowing one day, he noticed something odd that was going on, but he didn't think much about it. And then it got cold, and so the son was over there shoveling the driveway, and the son looked up one day, and water was coming out the front door. What's going on here? Well, they come to find out that her pipes had frozen, and they burst and flooded the house. And so they contacted the utility company, and the utility was company to call, and they shut off the water. And then someone did something that should have been done years prior. Somebody went into the house, and they discovered Adele's dead body. And the police estimated that she had been in the house dead for 4 years. We are stunned by that. We are shocked by that, that nobody took it upon themselves to go into the house to find out what was going on inside the house. There was an assumption that as long as everything looked okay on the outside, everything was okay on the inside. But yet, she was dead. We are much the same way. We get caught up in making sure that everything looks good when inwardly we're dying. We need to allow Jesus Christ to get inside of us. We need to allow Jesus Christ to not just get inside of us, but then to do the work that needs to be done so that we can know him better. Look at these phrases that Paul uses here. He says in verse 16, he says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. Then he says, I remember you in my prayers. And then he says, I keep asking. Every phrase that Paul uses is a phrase that says there is going to be action in your life, and all these things, that all of Paul's actions that he's talking about are an ongoing action that have no end. You see, for Paul, knowing Christ was what was paramount in his life. And he's asking over and over again that God would continue to help them know him better, know Jesus Christ better. Now, you're sitting there perhaps thinking, well, how do we do that? Many times we sit there and we want to think that getting to know Christ better is this straight line experience. And I want to put a slide up here that shows you this, what I'm trying to illustrate here. And oftentimes we sit there and think that it's just this straight line experience, that it's ever moving upward and onward and forward. And everything's always blissful. I confess to you, getting to know Christ better for me is not a straight line. It's a whole lot more like this. All over the place. Things are going well, things are not going well. I understand some things that Christ is calling me to do. I don't get it. I take a few steps forward, and then I take a few steps. I'm all over the place. There is no set formula except this. Know Christ better. Notice in this passage, Paul doesn't say you need to do this, 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 and this. All he says is, know Christ better. So your life can be a wreck like mine, and you're going to be okay. For those of you that are on a constant upward trajectory, I'd love to talk to you, not today because I have to leave right away, but I'd love to talk to you about it. Know Christ better. Paul's motivation is so crystal clear. Know him better. And when we know him better, we see life in a whole different way. Perhaps the next step you need to take today is to list out your priorities. How are you spending your time? The way you spend your time says an awful lot about the way you look at priorities. Perhaps it's taking a look at the way you spend your finances. And I got to say this real quickly. A few weeks ago, we shared with you that this summer's been especially hard on us financially. And a number of you have responded and come up to me and just said, hey, how can I help? And one of you, and this is, I was so moved by this. One of you said, well, I believe God's calling me to get involved more financially here, and so I'm done smoking, and I'm going to give you that money instead of holding on to it. So apparently the ministry of FBC Scottsdale is helping people stop smoking. But I was so moved by that, because that's taking the next step. Not that you have to, but that God is moving you to take you to a place that he wants you to go. So what are your priorities? And then he goes on, and look at verse 18. He says this, he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Paul says you need to have hope. And this isn't some hope like, I hope we have steak for dinner tonight, or I hope there's money in the account by the end of the month, or I hope, and I mean this, I hope USC wins one more football game this year, but I don't think it's going to happen. But they looked horrible. This is going to be a long season for the Ostroms and myself. And for you ASU fans, when USC plays you, enjoy your victory. All right, so it'll be like the second one in 20 years. Anyway, point is this. I'm not talking about that type of hope. Paul's talking about biblical hope. Paul's talking about a hope that is not a wish, but a reality. Paul's talking about a hope that when he was struggling and he was holding on to a board from a ship that had just been, that he was on that had been shipwrecked, and he's holding on to that board, he was placing his hope in the one who was taking care of him as he was floating out in sea. He's talking about putting your hope in the one who took care of him when people had picked up stones and threw them at him to kill him, and they thought he was dead, and they walked away, and the hope of Christ fills him up, and he ends up getting back up and walking back in the city because Christ still had work for him to do. He's talking about a hope that is real. He's talking about not wishful thinking. He's talking about Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in your life. Talking about hope. And in this world in which we live, there's not a whole lot of hope. Past couple weeks, we've been bombarded with news about what's going on between the United States and Syria. I don't know what it's like to be a family in Syria right now. But hearing the possibility of bombs landing around them, I would imagine it's a little unsettling. For the families that are watching their children die of starvation. And by the way, by the time the service is done tonight, or tonight, I hope it's not done by tonight, then we're in trouble. But by the time the service is done this morning, 1,200 more children will have died of starvation. I would imagine there's not much hope in those particular situations. And that's what makes what we have so vital. This place, not just here, but throughout the world, is looking for hope, and they need it. And we have the message of hope, and it's Jesus Christ. A father in Spain, he and his son had a humongous argument. Son's name was Paco. And it was such a humongous argument that Paco ran away that night. He ran away to Madrid. Madrid's a big town. Father awakened the next morning, found the note. The father was heartbroken, didn't know what to do. So after a few days, the father said, I got to go do something. I got to go find my son. So he goes to Madrid looking for Paco, his son. He looked for one day, for 2 days, for 3 days, and at the end of 3 days, he couldn't find him. And so finally, this father said, I'm going to take out an ad. And there's a paper called El Libro. It's a newspaper in Madrid. And he took out a half-page ad, and the ad said this, Paco, meet me at Hotel Montaña, noon, Tuesday, all is forgiven. Loved Papa. So Tuesday came around. And this dad goes to Hotel Montaña. But he couldn't get into the hotel because there were 800 Pacos looking for their father. And we chuckle. The hope of forgiveness is contagious. The Pacos that were looking to be restored between themselves and their father thought the message was for them. We live in a world that needs to know that Christ forgives, that there is hope in Christ alone. 800 of them showed up. You possibly work in places that don't seem to have a whole lot of hope. If you know Jesus Christ, you have hope. You can be a voice of hope. And I want you to look a little more closely at this verse. Look at what he says. He says, I want you to have eyes of your heart opened that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And look at where the hope is. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, in the people that call him Lord. Let that sink in for a few moments. So often we get together and we talk about this complaint or that complaint, or the church isn't doing this right, or the church isn't doing that right, or this person's messed up, or that person's messed up, and we do all this stuff, and yet we are people of hope, and hope is one of the last things we ever talk about. Paul says the hope is in Christ, and it's in and through his people. So we need one another. He says the people are the glorious inheritance of God himself. We need one another. What does that mean as far as a next step? Well, if you're interested, we would love to find out. I'm trying to gauge an interest in people if they're interested in some small groups or whatever. And if you're interested in a small group, I invite you to just fill out on the card, put your name, and then just say you're interested in small groups. And we don't have anything set up right now, but I'm prayerfully considering what we need to do. And when we get together as folks, we need to be people that are communicating hope to one another, the hope that rests in Jesus Christ. It's about people. It's about him doing that. And then, not only does Paul have clear motivation, not only does he present clear hope, but then he does something. Look at verses 19 to 23. He says this, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Paul says there is a clear power that you can experience for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Our desire to know Christ doesn't come from within on our own. We won't do that on our own. And so Paul covers that and says, this Christ that you need to know better will empower you, will give you what you need to know him better. And it's not some little power thing that he's talking about here. It's the power. Look at this. It's like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We're talking about resurrection power. We're talking about a power that took Christ out of the tomb and restored him completely. That power is available to those who believe. Taking the next step can be unnerving. Taking the next step can be, we don't know what we're going to do. But we have somebody who will never let us down. He will meet you where you are, and he'll take you to where he needs you to go. And he will give you the power you need to do it. It's not about self-help. It's about Christ's help. It's about Christ's help coming in and conquering our unbelief, our hesitations. He wants us to be authentic. He wants us to say, I know what you're calling me to do, but I don't know how to do this. We read this story in Mark chapter 9. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed. He's possessed by a spirit that's robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Christ replies, O unbelieving generation, how long will I stay with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? By the way, that's an interesting question as the kid's having this episode. Christ says, what's going on here? How long has this been happening? Rather odd, I think, but we'll continue on. The father says, from childhood. It's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Look at Christ's response. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rushing to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Be authentic. The next steps that Christ is calling you to do are places perhaps where you have deep-seated unbelief in your life. Christ says, okay, let me do what I need to do. That father cries out the cry that's in all of our hearts. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. What area in your life today has unbelief in it? What area of your life today Christ is saying, let me have that? What next step is he calling you to do? Because Christ will provide what's needed for that next step. So what is the next step? It's knowing Jesus Christ better. No set formula. Know him better. Experience his grace. And as that happens, your life is changed. Some of you this morning know a lot about Jesus Christ. And it might be today that the next step is not knowing about Christ, but knowing Christ. If you have questions about that, please don't hesitate to ask. Put it on the card. Let us know. Because it's our desire, as we take these next steps together, that Christ would overcome our unbelief. Father, we thank you so very much. We thank you that you're good, and that you're true, and that you're real, and that you want to be known. Father, may we know you and experience you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to ask the ushers to come forward and receive this morning's offering.
captives free. Same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Oh, 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 oh.
Fill us up and send us out. Fill us up and send us out. Fill us up and send us out, Lord. Fill us up and send us out. Fill us up and send us out. Fill us up and send us out, Lord. We must go. Live to feed the hungry. Stand beside the broken. We must go.
Not a room full of sitters. You've called us to reach into this community, to take care of the people who are in need, to love up each other. Father God, help us to be that people. There are enough people. There are enough people that come to church and sit and listen and do nothing. We do not want to be those people. So, Father, empower us to reach out to those in need, to be your hands, your feet, your eyes, to love people with a love that cannot flow from us, but only flows from your throne. Thank you, God, for loving us, for filling our cup, for giving to us, God, in all that we do. May you and you alone be praised. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Here we go now.
And it's that name that we get to talk to people about. It's that name that gives us hope. It's that name that revives us. It's that name that when you come to understand what that name represents, Jesus Christ, salvation is experienced. And so today, it's our prayer that if you want to know Jesus, that it would be today. You'd fill out the card or whatever and let us know. It's not about knowing about him, it's about knowing him. And that would be a great thing, and taking that next step. Now, usually I'm at the back door. I'm just going to tell you this straight up. I need to get out of here. And that's part of the reason why we're done before 11:30. But anyway, I need to get out of here. I love you a ton. Praying for you. Ask that you would be praying for myself and the rest of the team as we go to make an impact in Haiti. God bless you. Enjoy your day.